This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Just a few words about the Baxi partnership. We are a rather unusual organisation. We are employee-owned. We're highly democratic. We believe in genuine employee engagement, which we have within our own organisation and with our partner organisations. And part of our role is about helping people move into more mutual employee-owned type structures. And over the last 10 years, we've worked with about 30 organisations to achieve that. We've been helping with the Cabinet Office employee-led mutual programme. And as part of that, we've mentored three organisations, two of which now are up and running as mutual organisations. So in terms of sustainability, I wanted to try and bring some of the experience we've had with organisations we've worked with pre the new policy, and also some of the experience from the last 12 months of working with some of the pathfinders. I think in terms of how do you build a genuinely sustainable organisation, people talk about hard and soft issues, and it's like, you know, money's a hard issue and people is a nice soft issue. Not really true. They're all really hard issues. And in truth, we genuinely start with the people issues, because if you can't sort out the people issues, if you can't get that in place and make it work, then actually none of the rest of it is going to work anyway. Our experience of looking at some of the pathfinders is, I think you can't engage too early. And some of the issues around some of the pathfinders is probably that people haven't engaged early on. And the danger of that is twofold. I mean, the first real danger is that people feel that actually this is something which has been done to them. You know, the chief execs come through the door and say, great news, we're going to be a mutual. You're going to be employee owners or whatever. Well, it's not quite the same thing as actually working together and creating a plan and feeling like actually it's something we're going to create ourselves. So that sense of engagement is just so fundamental. And in terms of sustainability, start early, work really hard at it, and build it into the organisation from day one, and then just keep on going with it. If you look at like an organisation like John Lewis, which have been incredibly successful, their level of engagement is absolutely stunning from every level of the organisation, right from the shop floor and people engaging in issues around actually how do we organise our part of the business, all the way through up to strategic decision-making. There are democratic processes and people have a vote. It's not a communist view of the world. It's not something where, you know, the people on the shop floor run John Lewis. It's more about a structure where you say that the people who run the company are empowered to get on with it, but ultimately they are accountable to their employees, to that broader constituency. And by having that view of life, rather than looking at external set of shareholders or private equity, and actually looking at what is right for that partnership and being accountable to the partnership, hopefully brings in all the right sorts of behaviours. So lesson number one is engage, get on with it soon, bring people into the process of planning, and don't be afraid to get people's views. You won't get everybody on side on day one. The best I've seen is perhaps 80%. You know, the worst you see is, you know, you're not going to do it unless you get a majority of people supporting it. But, you know, I've seen it work with 60% perhaps on day one who feel this is a really good idea. The thing is, it's a change process, you know, and it's going to change people's lives. And there's going to be all sorts of fears around it, and there's going to be all sorts of difficulties around it. So you've got to treat it as a journey. You've got to accept where you start from and have a plan and a process in place to make sure that you keep on engaging and you keep on bringing people along with you. Second point really is one of those hard things, which is the money. If in whatever form you're spinning out from the public sector, you're going into a different type of business model. And it's very important that you get two things right. One is you really understand the business plan. You really understand how this is going to work as a financial entity. Because if the numbers don't add up, you've really got to go back, you've really got to keep on reworking it. In my various roles in life, I've seen hundreds of business plans. And I know a lot of people don't like planning. But believe me, it's a lot easier to rigorously plan a business to sort out all the issues which come out of that planning process, do it very honestly, do it very openly, and solve the problems before you launch a business, rather than actually finding the problems when you've got an operational business and you have to fix it. It's a lot cheaper in terms of money. It's a lot cheaper in terms of the, you know, the damage it does to everybody. So get the planning in early, and don't forget the first point, which is really about engaging people in that process as well. The other part of it is, how do you long-term make sure you're achieving your plan and then getting realistic plans coming forward? So you've got to have proper planning and control cycles. You've got to understand how your plan operates, what are the really key parts of it, and make sure that one way or another you monitor those. You understand them, you get good people who monitor those, and if things aren't going right, that you've got ways of fixing them. So, you know, you've got to build intelligence from day one into that business and make sure that it's capable of reacting to its environment and capable of fixing itself if things aren't going particularly well. I think the other thing which has come out of a couple of situations we've seen recently is that you've got to think very hard about transition. Now, I know that sounds like a setup issue, but actually transition is going to really define what you are and how you move forward. And I think the danger here is that because it's a cost, because it sits on top of whatever you're budgeting for the rest of this business, people tend to skimp on it. And the danger of that is the things you skimp on are proper engagement, proper consultation, really getting people on board, people who really understand what you're doing. And you can't afford to do that, because if you do that, what that actually sets is a precedent, which is, this is the way we run the business. We don't really consult properly. We don't really properly engage. So one way or another, you've got to build some budget into that. And the other thing is, it's not a, you know, it's not something you do between 5 and 7 in the evening. It's not something you do on top of your day job. Somebody's got to really own that and manage it and make it happen. Next point is, in one form or another, you're going to change your relationship with your commissioners, with the authority you're dealing with. And if at the moment you're sitting within a department and you're working alongside colleagues and money is passing through in one form or another, you're going to go to a different type of relationship. If you're externalised in some form, there will be some kind of contract between the commissioner and yourselves. And some of the issues we've seen are around people not really understanding that change in relationship. You know, kind of assuming that you'll move to the new organisation, the new structure, and that side of it will work. Well, it doesn't. You know, in one form or another, you're an external organisation. And the key thing, the key relationship, is with the commissioner. So from day one, you've got to figure out how you're going to deal with that commissioner. And it's almost like a client management thing. You know, what are his issues? How am I going to work with him? How am I going to get the right sort of contract in place? And getting that right from day one actually means that you can grow the business. You can be much more sustainable. Getting it wrong from day one actually means it's very, very hard to move forward, and it's very, very hard to grow what you're developing. Part of that is understanding the other person's needs. You know, it's really understanding, you know, what is it you're trying to satisfy in this and what is it you're trying to offer. So it's about really understanding the nature of your service, where does it fit in this overall environment, and why is it so important to the commissioner, and how do you get a fair price for it. So you've got to think a bit more commercially about it, and you've got to think more about what is your service and how do you market it. The final part on sustainability is, don't leave it too late to start planning for the future. And the first thing is getting something up and running, moving people across, setting things up, setting up financial accounts, getting a bank account and everything else. And a lot of people reach that point and it's, right, that's fine. But in truth, the next week, actually, you ought to be worrying about, how do I recompete the next contract? How do I position myself against whoever's going to come in as competition? How do I really refine my business and get the skills I need for the long, long term? And so, you know, perhaps take a week off after you've launched, but actually, the week after that, sit down and really figure out how you're going to survive in the long term. and start planning for that and bring that into your business planning process this really early. Because, you know, a lot of the contracts which are coming through are only 3 years. You know, 3 years will go in a flash if you don't plan properly and you don't bring the right people to make sure that you can compete. And don't assume you've got the right skills in the organisation, because you probably haven't. And you are going to either have to develop people or bring in different skills. The second strand on this was, the first one was what's sustainable. The other one was what's the impact of scale on all of this. Sad fact of life is it's a lot easier to run a big business than a small business, because all businesses have a certain amount of their cost which sits there in overhead in some form or another. You know, they all need a boss, they all need a finance man, they need some contract skills, they need some employment skills, etc. The big business, the proportion of that, actually, in relative terms, if it's well run, is probably smaller. Small business, it's larger. So it's actually harder to run a small business. So scale is important. And people have been playing around with all sorts of different ways of how do you handle that as an issue. I mean, the easy one is if you're small and you want to be big, go out and grow. Find different ways of winning different contracts, etc. You know, and that's the Greenwich Leisure model, which is, you know, they serviced one local area. They thought they'd got a good business model, and they've gone out and won 20 or 30 other contracts. See, Margaret Elliott model as well, which is, you know, you do well in Sunderland and you find other areas where your model is appropriate. But not everybody can do that, and certainly not everybody can do that from day one. So it's a question of what other mechanisms might you use to try and achieve some scale economies. One of the siren voices at the moment is there's an awful lot of private sector people who are saying, we'll be your partner. We'll help you. We'll sit alongside you. We'll give you an awful lot of that support. And, you know, we'll do it together. Not all of that is necessarily bad, but just be careful what is the deal. Because, you know, a lot of the comments around, you know, essentially sort of privatisation by stealth or whatever, if you're not careful about the contractual relationships you get with other people, then, you know, some of that stuff, either accidentally or on purpose, may occur. So if you're looking at those sorts of relationships, really understand what is the contract, what is the relationship, long term, what are the dynamics of it. Can you still keep control? Can you still operate in the way which you want to? If you're talking about creating a mutual organisation, hopefully you're looking at sustainability and empowering people and engaging with people. Will you still be able to do that in this business model which you're looking at with another partner? If you can answer those questions and you believe that you can handle it, that's fine. But my advice would be don't go into it blind and get good advice on it. I think the other way of achieving scale, and one which we've had a number of discussions with local authorities about, is can you find ways locally of sharing overhead? And the way we've characterised this is what we call a hub and spoke model, where you try and create a local hub of those essential services which are needed by all of the local mutuals or social enterprises. So finance, HR, contractual support. And then share them with the people who are actually delivering the services on the spokes. The beauty of that is you get some of the advantages of a much larger organisation, but hopefully if it's done well, you can do it in a way where you don't have to compromise values. And you can, if you create something which has got the right behaviours and the right relationship with the people who are actually delivering services, could, I think, actually deliver some of the benefits of scale, but without some of the downside of partnering with the wrong people. The journey isn't easy. Both sustainability and scale are really difficult issues to solve. And if anybody's looking for an easy life in terms of next steps, this probably isn't the right one. But scale are really difficult issues to solve. And if anybody's looking for an easy life in terms of next steps, this probably isn't the right one. But I really believe that this is an approach which is entirely appropriate to the delivery of public services. Scale are really difficult issues to solve. And if anybody's looking for an easy life in terms of next steps, this probably isn't the right one. But I really believe that this is an approach which is entirely appropriate to the delivery of public services. In my own life, I worked on the public sector side. Back in the 80s and 90s, I was an outsourcer, so I've actually done the contractual side of large-scale public sector outsourcing contracts. And I've seen firsthand what does it mean when you take a lot of public servants and move them across into a separate organisation with radically different values from the organisation they've gone from. There are benefits of outsourcing. There are scale economies in that, and you know there are reasons why you might do it. But I do believe that if you can find a middle course which actually says, can we try and keep some of the values and the behaviours and attitudes of public service, but also try and get some of the dynamism of a more sort of open market model, then you get real benefits. And I think employer-led mutuals are a great way of doing that. If you look at a John Lewis, if you look at an Arup partnership, Lockfine Fisheries, and some of the hundreds of other people who are part of the EOA, you see some wonderful examples of people who have taken a very different business model and built organisations which have really good values and deliver really good service. And if you look at Margaret Elliott, there are already good examples of that transition into the public sector as well. So not an easy journey, but if you are excited by it, I think there's a real prize by going down that route. Thank you.